You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Appreciate Jeff Woods, retiring videographer over News Channel 3, calling it a career after 40 years. Friday be his last day for coming on in here. Oh, it was fun reminiscing, going down memory lane. I pulled myself back together because, like I mentioned, Jeff's been a family member to me. So very appreciative to him and can't wait to see him sitting back as a fan over at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium getting into taking the Tigers with a cold beer in the way that he has certainly more than earned. We do a little thing we call the rundown about now. Let's do it. Discussed it in the open. We will reset and then move on. But Memphis has its starting quarterback, according to Pete Thamel. Now, according to Jonah Dillon over the commercial appeal, Brendan Lewis will be that starting quarterback. I'm kind of excited about it. I know it was news that we expected, but we're just 2.5 weeks out from Memphis football's opener against Chattanooga. And, yeah, I think Kramsey had given a timeline in terms of naming a starter. And while this isn't coming out officially from Memphis, it leaked out, obviously, from I think Thamel had it first. We do have it, you know, relatively officially now, too, that Jonah Dillon has confirmed it. According to a source, Lewis, again, has started 35 games across his career at Colorado and Nevada. He's been on some bad teams, as Brad has talked about, over Colorado and Nevada. There is no question about that. And right now, he's ahead of A.J. Hill, the true freshman. We call him Antoine Hill. That's his name, but he goes by A.J. Hill their first hour. And then redshirt freshman Arrington Maiden. You wonder about Arrington Maiden at this point and sort of what the rest of the depth chart is. Hey, how about that? Brad's excited back there. You wonder about that. I mean, that's the next question. It won't matter in terms of that season opener now that we know who the starter will be, or maybe it won't matter immediately, but 2-3, I do think is, and we can get back to it, mm-hmm. You know, how it plays out in terms of the depth chart, A.J. Hill or Arrington, 2 or 3. You know, if Arrington Maiden, who's shown well in the spring and by all accounts, you know, is a good enough quarterback at some point to start for Memphis, it sounds like, if Antoine, A.J. Hill is the number two guy and he's the one getting the packages to sort of keep him involved and Arrington Maiden in a part of this at all, mm-hmm. does he stay? You know, do you make him two until A.J. Hill waits your time and that's something A.J.'s okay with? We'll see. I think sort of managing that, you know, that whole quarterback room, and again, when your future investment certainly is in A.J. Hill, there's just a component, a dynamic to that you've got to be careful with. Back to Lewis, basically 2,300 yards last year at Nevada. I don't think that's the most interesting thing about this, though. We'll get back to that. 16 touchdowns last year. The key was the 775 rushing yards to go with it and the 8 touchdowns. He's a dual-threat quarterback in the way that, man, it's been a long time. Brady White wasn't that. Obviously, Seth Hennigan wasn't. We've talked about how this is a different type of quarterback than Seth Hennigan, but Brady White before him wasn't a dual threat. I guess Paxton Lynch could run, but you certainly weren't running an option offense or maybe some RPO stuff with Paxton Lynch. But it's been a while, just here off the top of my head, when I'm thinking about a guy who could run for 800 yards in a season, and you just wonder with the level of competition for Memphis, especially the out-of-conference to start the year, maybe it's numbers that are even bigger than that in terms of the what he can put up from a rushing standpoint. What I like, and hopefully this is going to remain the case, and I haven't seen anything to suggest otherwise, is that, listen, it looks like you're going to have a very, maybe a standout running game. I hesitated there because I don't want to put a cap on it, and I don't want to, I don't want to get too hype either, because again, we've seen some things not come together. But with Greg DeRozier and Sutton Smith, and now bringing in Brendan Lewis, who rushes for 800 yards, Ryan Silverfield's a former run game coordinator. Tim Kramsey's a smart offense coordinator. You should be able to do a lot of things with the run game. However, if it's going to be as successful as you can have it be, you have to be able to keep defenses honest and be able to throw the ball. And Brendan Lewis, while not a pure passer, certainly had some big games last year for Nevada through the air, did throw it 37 times against UNLV, completed 27 of those for 292 yards, two touchdowns, did have an interception, was sacked six times. They were playing from behind, but he did have some big games for them as a passer last year. And more importantly, he did it with Cortez Brom. 56 catches, 724 yards, four touchdowns. He is the late addition in terms of a wide receiver room that lacked production from last season. Now, you like a lot of those guys in terms of the transfers you've brought in, but didn't necessarily get a ton of chance and opportunity at their previous spots. Well, Brom's a guy that clearly Brendan Lewis is familiar with, had big games with against Air Force. He threw it to him they caught seven passes for 123 yards. That was from Lewis. Nine for 141 yards against Colorado State. Nine for 110 against Georgia Southern, and a touchdown. And so there is enough there, and especially now that you've got someone that Brendan Lewis is familiar with. Again, he was looking up when everybody, and nobody around him at Nevada is good, and he's able to find this guy. There'll be better talent. And now that you've got somebody you're familiar with in the passing game, you should be able to keep defenses honest. Now, again, the charge is still going to fall. The major charge is still going to fall on a Memphis defense that just has to be better. Hasn't held up its end of the bargain in Ryan Silverfield's 5 years. But exciting, from where I'm sitting, that we can finally move forward officially on starter. We'll see when Memphis makes the official announcement. I'm sure that'll be soon to come now that the news is out there. And get to preparing for Chattanooga. It should be, again, you look at this Memphis schedule, let me pull it back up here. Chattanooga, Georgia State, Troy.
It's light.
I realize the game at Georgia State, the games against Georgia State and Troy are on the road. I mean, that should be factored in, but Memphis will be a favorite. And, I would be disappointed. I think Tigers fans would be disappointed if that's anything other than 3-0. Am I being too
No, that's the bet here. And maybe
am I aiming too high there?
No, I think it's 3-0. I mean, these are guys that are clearly below you in terms of the pecking order.
If it's not,
yep.
If you've struggled,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like through those struggles, through those first three, you don't have a chance against Arkansas, at some point I'm going to A.J. Hill.
Switch your quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. And it sounds like you got
three
solid.
Should not be the case, but it sounds like the plan.
I mean, it sounds like you have three of them. I mean, it sounds like you've got three really good options, and you get to see what you got in Brendan Lewis, and they're ready to go.
I want Brendan Lewis operating at a high level through those three games, building confidence and getting my offense to a point where I trust it for what's your biggest non-conference game in Arkansas. Ideally, that's what you want. If you are Memphis football, it feels like to me is Brendan Lewis playing at a high level through those three games, and the setup seems nice for a nice takeoff there. After that, it's at FAU, Tulsa, at UAB, and then you get to the ones that should be tougher, the ones that will probably decide whether or not you're going to be playing in the conference championship game. South Florida, we mentioned, is here. Tulane is here, and Navy is here. Your three toughest conference games are all here, and if you've got Brendan Lewis operating at a high enough level, again, you don't have to be a top 10 offense like you've been the last two seasons, basically top 12 last year, 10 the year before that. You don't have to be that, but you should be top 50 with what you've got available. So good to have the news. I think even better in the case of Brendan Lewis and for Memphis football that you've got Cortez Brom here now, having pulled him through the transfer portal late. And, very exciting to think about Memphis football and the possibilities this year. This doesn't have to be a step-back season. In fact, it shouldn't be one. It should be one you're still appearing in the conference championship game. We have talked a ton about sports gambling. In fact, we talked about it with the Oklahoma QB yesterday. Now, that's starting to look, I believe him, by the way. You know, his Venmo stuff got public from a few years ago at Washington State and looks like it could very well have just been a joke between him and his boys. And we know he hadn't done anything since transferring to Oklahoma. There's too much at stake for that nationally ranked program. All that said, whether it's gambling in college athletics or gambling in the NBA, we know Malik Beasley's story. Michael Porter Jr. on a podcast called One Night with Steiny. Are you familiar with that podcast, by the way?
I am not.
I never heard of it either. Didn't just talk about sort of sports gambling on the face. He is now a Brooklyn Net, by the way, having been traded from the Denver Broncos. He talked about pretty openly about his brother's ban from the NBA. He admitted to trying to hook up his bud, getting pulled from an NBA game. And was banned from the NBA for it. I was surprised to read these quotes, but here's what Michael Porter Jr. said on One Night with Steiny. The integrity of the game, the sports gambling stuff, can affect that a lot. Think about it. If you can get all of your homies rich by telling them, yo, bet $10,000 on my under this game. I'm going to act like I got an injury and I'm going to sit out. I'm going to come out after 3 minutes. And they all get a little bag because you did that one game. That is so not okay, but some people probably think like that. They come from nothing, and all their homies have nothing. And they're like, bro, if I come out of this game after 3 minutes and y'all all hit on my under, we're all getting a little bag. Obviously, my brother went through his situation. Malik Beasley's going through a situation right now. Terry Rozier was in some hot water. You believe he's talking on a record like this?
This
but the
good.
Whole sports gambling entity, it's bad. And here's the thing, he says, it's only going to get worse. As we said, Jonte Porter was permanently banned last year. It was April 2024. Didn't have the month after an investigation found out he schemed to take himself out of games to help bettors win on his player props. Seems like Michael was describing his brother's situation. The former Toronto Raptors big man said he did it to get out from under large gambling debts. Porter Jr., Michael in this case, elaborated on his brother's gambling problem during a vlog on this YouTube channel. Everybody has different vices. This is, I found very interesting.
Talks about
as
women,
well.
Yeah.
Everybody has different things that they struggle with. My brother, for example, struggled with gambling. My vice has always come in the form of women.
Yep.
My brother, Jonte, he didn't struggle with that vice. I didn't struggle with gambling addiction. I never struggled with that vice. God gave me a lot of money because he figured I could handle it and not lose myself in that area. And maybe Jonte, he was not blessed with tons of money because he struggled with that area of the idolization of money. I mean, it's crazy he's talking this openly, but there's a lot. I have not been blessed with a wife because maybe I am not prepared to handle that because of my struggles.
Yep.
So he went deep.
Deep.
And way beyond just his brother's gambling ban or, gambling in sports.
Big self-awareness here.
I'm struggling with this. I'm not sure if this is because I will say transparency is a word that I use often and is a word that's actually people when they talk about this radio show and sort of my spot on it, they say it to me a lot because what the word I'll hear is I like how transparent you are about your faith and how you've fallen down essentially and you're willing to talk about that. That's clearly what this is.
Yes.
It's him being willing to talk about his shortcomings, where he's fallen off. Is it okay to talk about brothers, though?
Yeah, and
that's my question for
you. I'm sure that he's got a it sounds like he's got a relationship that's such that, first of all, when your brother has been thrown out of the league, and that's done.
Yeah.
Like, that's done.
Yeah.
There's no recourse on that.
No.
That is
and
over
And it's public
with.
Info, and it's out there, and it's fair to ask you about it, I guess.
For me, and this is part of my faith journey and part of my personal life and part of my professional life, you have to accept your strengths and your weaknesses in order to be moving forward. Otherwise, you cannot move forward. If you don't know your shortcomings and your strengths, it's like, what's the point? And then by the time you're thrown out of the league for gambling, but if you're going to get another job, like, think about it. Like, Jonte Porter's got to be productive now, and he's been tossed out of the league. Like, his brother's in the league, and obviously he's talking about this. So my guess is they've talked. My guess is he's like, yeah, I've kind of had a sex addiction, or I like women, or, I've got multiple girlfriends, so I've never been married. And in his brother's case, can't handle money, and he's trying to get a bag for his friends and for himself. Of course, he didn't have the contract that his brother had either. So it's easy to talk like that when you're making
that kind of money. He got into, as he said, gambling debts, and whether some of it's for his homies or some of it to, hey, the homies are
you
can help me pay this off.
It's a little too much, maybe?
Yeah, you know, he was on the lower end, and that's what guys like him would be willing to take.
Maybe too much, though, you're saying?
My line is, when I'm sitting here and talking to you or I'm talking to John and I'm talking about my shortcomings and trying to be transparent about that to whether it's to help somebody else in their spot or whatever, just to be honest, I think talking about me is okay.
Sure.
It's probably what you said, though, that he and his brother have talked and are comfortable enough, and that's why he's okay with going to his brother's sin and what his brother, well, what his brother's vice is, as the way he put it is.
That's fair.
Maybe because they are that close. I just think that's, I think that for me, that's where maybe I'm a little bit uncomfortable with it, because I'm okay with being transparent about my shortcomings, but when it comes to my
somebody else,
I'm not going to tell you I'm not going to say on the air, hey, here's where I think all the plays where John Martin's coming up short. Like, that feel like my place, unless he and I have, of course, had to talk about that.
Yeah.
What do you think of the larger, and that's what most people are writing, the larger point that this is going to get worse?
I believe
that NBA players are always going to have those hangers on that are asking them for help. And that we'll see more and more of this.
Yeah, so it's already a major problem, and most of these kids are 21, 20 years old, and a lot of them get one-and-dones. So it's only going to get worse, because if you look at the college level, college students in general are really struggling with the access to gambling and on their phones. That's why I actually think people are lying when they tell you they don't gamble, and I'm not saying anybody specific. I'll just leave it vague, so I'm not singling anybody out here. Because, first of all, gamblers, to me, tend to be sensitive if they're addicted. They tend to dismiss or scoff like most people who are addicted to things, and you have no idea just the depths. Like most of us, in all of our shortcomings, that includes me, things that, you know, I do or I'm misstepping in. We tend to dismiss them pretty quickly, and I think that I actually think that's why, you know, Porter's brother is talking about this, because they've clearly went to therapy. I bet they've done meetings on this. I bet that there's a gambling issue besides the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something that's way when you can't keep yourself out of losing a multi-million-dollar contract because you got a gambling addiction, you've got a major gambling addiction, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the ones, and we don't know, I'd hate to just include him in terms of speculation. We'll see with Malik Beasley, but the ones that are making the big money aren't gonna take the risk. Like Michael can say, hey, I got blessed because I don't have a gambling addiction. I just think he's got too much at stake. Remember, Jonte was a fringe player.
Yeah.
And a guy who wasn't necessarily due the millions and millions his older brother was going to make. And you're watching your older brother live this lifestyle, and you want that. So you're willing. It's those fringe guys.
What about Shohei Ohtani? He's got all the money. And yet the speculation, I'm not saying he gambled, but I think there's a wink and a nod assumption now that Shohei probably had his hand in something, and that the agent and some of these handlers have taken the fall for him.
Like, I don't know. I had come to the conclusion that Shohei had his interpreter had a pretty bad problem. Now, you can make, and I'm not going to sit up here and be naive and act like it couldn't be the case where they've dumped it all on him.
Yeah.
But I think with what we read through, clearly in that case, the interpreter had a wild problem. I don't think you had Shohei wilding out there. You seem to think that you did.
I may have been born at night, but not last night with most of this stuff. And usually where there's smoke, there's fire. And it includes the people you associate with. And this is my opinion on my life. The people I associate with, I associate with me, you know. And there's some of what they do that I own. And I think, especially if it's your agent or somebody that you've is a confidant, you know, like there's got to be something there. All I'm saying is the answer to your question, though, is that all this is bad. All of it is going to get worse. And I think Porter's on it, man. Like, it's too easy for you. Like, look how he even described it. He's like, it's so easy if I just, you know, I don't play the last 5 minutes of a game. We're getting blown out 20 and I ask the coach to get out and I hit the under on either my minutes played or my points or rebounds. Like, most people, but John has pointed this out to me. He thinks that the analytics and the books are now incredibly savvy to the point where it's almost impossible or near impossible not to sniff it out. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not a gambling guy, but that's what John. We actually talked about this stuff last week, and he's like, it's so down to the microscopic level that they're studying these players can tell.
Well, they see the bets coming in. They know. You know, seeing the unusual activity coming from some of these bets. And in the case of Jonte, it's like, why is this? Yeah, these are the only bets that are coming in on him.
Yeah.
So it was easy to spot. Here's the way I would bottom line it. I think Jonte Porter's right that it's going to continue and be a problem four guys that are willing to take the risk, and not the top,
not these big time contract players.
I don't think the Shoheis, I don't think the, you know, the Luka Doncic's. Yeah. If we're going to basketball, all those top guys, I don't think they're going to be willing to take the risk.
Or Michael Porter.
I think it's the fringe guys,
yeah, that's
who
fair.
Will always be there.
Yeah.
They're always going to be there that have the hangers on, mm-hmm. just like the big boys, the big money guys do.
Yeah.
They've got the hangers on. They don't have the money though, and that's where that group of players. Yes, I could see the problem getting worse for them, because what will never happen is them having their buddies, their family members, and everything else saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. D'Angelo Williams told us that. A story that John tells all the time. He came on to the hardest thing about turning professional and having that career is having to tell people no.
Yeah.
You know, your old buddies that grew up in the hood with you, and you always said, hey, we're going to go together. You want to help out still, and you feel a responsibility to them still. And frankly, in this case of Jontay Porter, it helped suck him down.
Well, and this is – okay, now I just went back in my notes. Here's the story we talked about while you were gone last week. It was the Guardians, the pitchers. Luis Ortiz got popped, and they said that there might be something there, speculating he was doing the balls and strikes. And then Emmanuel Clause is the latest one from the Guardians. And do you think they should be doing the balls and strikes gambling? Because there's some saying they should just outlaw that, because it's too easy for a pitcher like Ortiz to go, hey, when they bring me in to close this game, like the first two are going to be balls, or the first one's going to be a strike, or however you have it.
I don't understand why we have to have that prop. I don't know, or that balls
it's
and strikes.
Thing,
I don't understand
yeah.
why you can't just take that.
Micro betting.
And not tempt folks in that way, or mm-hmm. even take the chance. I mean, there's right. some, we've talked about it in college athletics with some of this stuff. You can cut down on the props, and you'll take a lot of the temptation, it feels like, out of it.
Yeah,
because you can't
that.
Fix a whole game. You can't fix a line.
Right.
And so,
right.
you know, Listen, we're in this to stay. Pandora's box has been opened. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's got all the answers, but I'm impressed, a little uncomfortable with some of Jontay Porter's comments, but where I can come back down with him is I do think that Michael Porter's comments,
yeah.
where I can come back and agree with him is that I do think, whether it's for guys like his brother or maybe even a little bit higher on the list, this will continue, because, again, it's the trying to help your friends
agree, yeah.
thing. It's
yeah.
the trying to help your friends thing. If it was just about you, you're not going to risk the millions of yeah. multi-million dollar contract for a couple of bets. And I don't understand why these guys that want to bet can't not do it on their own sport. Just go bet on something else.
I think, though,
just be at least disciplined enough to bet on other sports, not your own.
I'm not saying you're naive, Jason. I will say, you and I aren't millionaires, so it's easy for us to say we wouldn't risk a $25 million plus contract for a bet. But I will say this, knowing people who have had addiction problems, whether it be drinking, drugs, or women, like, people think it's nuts that people would run around if you have a supermodel wife, and yet people do it every damn day because they're like, why did he cheat on XYZ? Probably has a sex addiction. Why did he risk a $25 million contract? Might have a gambling addiction. Why does he know he'll get tossed out of the job he has if he gets caught drinking? I'm not saying you're naive. I'm just saying, in recent years, one of the things in my personal life I've seen is more people addicted to a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And I'm learning about addiction and just how wild and out of touch you are when you do something.
I am naive on gambling because I'm smart enough to know that I have addictive personality and I don't need to be anywhere near it.
Dude, I got off of it, and I'm not addicted to it, but like when I saw that, and I don't like losing money. It's like, I can't mm-hmm. be on a weekend thing where I do a three-thing parlay, and I'm talking about it like it's because I put $25 on it, but 25 times 10 still is 250.
I like being naive on gambling because it's a safer place for me.
Yeah, that's fine.
Denzel Washington had quite the rant on First Take about the Dallas Cowboys. My guy, Denzel Washington, he and Spike Lee were on First Take with Stephen A. Smith to promote the upcoming film Highest to Lowest. I'm very excited about the movie. Set that to the side. Denzel, as a Cowboys fan, and I don't think we knew that we were going to get this, had a few things to say about Jerry Jones. He said he ain't thinking about us. He's thinking about his pocket. It almost looked like he was like in the middle of a great, you know, sort of monologue or something in the middle of a movie. There's box office and there's Oscars, Jerry. Been a while, huh? Ain't been to the show, you wouldn't know. Ain't been to the show, wouldn't know. He repeated it. Haven't been to the show, wouldn't know what it is to win. And many a Cowboys fans, whether it was on X or just in other social media forums, were saying, preach on Denzel Washington, who continued to talk about, you know, This is my team, but Jerry Jones ain't getting us nowhere. He ain't getting us to any Super Bowls. And it was, you know, it was crazy to see that in a way, Jerry Jones sort of kind of confirmed what Denzel and what we've all sort of been saying about him, because it was a movie premiere, a Netflix movie premiere, this documentary coming out about the Cowboys and Jerry Jones, where he was quoted as saying about the spotlight, the Cowboys are a soap opera 365 days a year. When it gets slow, I'll stir it up. Oh, it's wonderful to have the great players, but there's something more there. There's sizzle, there's emotion, there's controversy. That controversy is good stuff. So he's laying into it. But he knows what he's doing. I mean, it makes money. So to sit up here and act like the guy's, you know, senile or doesn't under, he's telling you he understands it and he likes it. And so, you know, this Micah, we'll just use the Micah Parsons contract situation. I mean, he likes the controversy. He likes the fact that I think somebody else here mentioned it, that, you know, Denzel's on First Take talking about him and talking about his team. He told you it's a show. And whether that, yeah, clearly that's not the healthiest thing for the, it's not the best thing for the Dallas Cowboys in terms of winning Super Bowls, but in terms of the valuation, it is. He's a businessman. This is his priority. I mean, I think that's the news point, is that he's making it clear to you, as opposed to bringing in a stout enough offensive line or, you know, having the right chemistry or whatever else, his priority is keeping the Cowboys a show. And if it's stringing guys along on contracts or waiting until the very end and maybe burning their feelings before, he's fine with that so long as the show goes on. And so, again, Denzel's rant seemed to be confirmed by what Jerry was willing to say. But by this point, should we be surprised? I don't think so. It feels like every time he runs his mouth, the rest of the organization has to sort of clean it up. Or Micah Parsons has to be asked about it. Now, listen, Mike has got his own podcast. He's been out there as well, but he should have long been paid. And what we should know by now is that, you know, Jerry's going to string all of these guys along, and he's going to do it for attention. And because ESPN and First Take will keep talking about it, and this is the business of the Dallas Cowboys. It's not about winning Super Bowls. It's about being in your mouth, about being talked about, about being the headline on First Take in ESPN. And Cowboy fans have been living with this for years now, and I don't see it changing anytime in the near future. He doesn't look like he's going to let go until he, like, lets go. I hate to put it that way,
that's right,
but he looks like he's in this to stay. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got his son in the front office. You haven't handed it off to him yet, and he doesn't look like he has any intention of doing it. And so, you know, it's one thing from a business standpoint. Smart guy. You keep Dallas in the mouths, everybody. You're going to keep that valuation going up. You're the most valuable thing in sports. Like, there's some business acumen in that. But fans want to win. And ultimately, you are letting them down when your priority is no longer winning Super Bowls. That's what it used to be when Jimmy Johnson was putting it together for you and winning them, but you weren't getting the credit. You moved on, essentially, from him because you wanted that credit. And now it's not even about winning anymore. It's about the show, as you said, the soap opera. And yeah. Man, I would just be so, you know, just be looking probably for a new team if I was a fan of that organization.
Yeah, and I think the fans aren't going anywhere because of Dallas and the history of this franchise. First of all, great take by you, but I've always known this. Like, that's why they do tours of Jerry World. That's why we call it Jerry World.
I don't think we've had him admit it, though.
I don't understand why people are surprised at this. Like, he owns this and makes a S-ton of money with the Cowboys.
I don't know that we've seen him admit it, though. But again, remember, he's at the premiere.
No, we definitely
he's at the premiere too of his Netflix documentary about him and his team, and so he's gonna, you know, he's gonna lay into the fact we're a soap opera and everything else. But I also think it clearly applies to his football team, Dallas Cowboys. Man, the circus continues,
we'll
see how serious they look on the field. I do think Dak should have a pretty good year considering he's got Pickens and CD Lamb. We'll see. Handle the business with Michael Parsons, though. Pay him. I got one more. All right, James Cook has reached an agreement with the Buffalo Bills. He did a hold-in, and they took care of him 4 years. It doesn't always go that way, but they did in this case. 4 years, $48 million, that includes $30 million guaranteed. Should make Jeff Calkins, Buffalo Bills fan number one here in Memphis, Tennessee, feels like should make him very happy, because James Cook, man, he's been an absolute stud. And we've said it. It was a common refrain for years here on the Jason and John show, you know, Buffalo needed to get serious about finding a running back and taking some of that pressure off Josh Allen to do it all. And boy, did they find one in Cook. So I don't think anybody's surprised here just because of how good he's been. He was on Cook's a two-time Pro Bowler at this point and has firmly entrenched himself as their lead back. Their offense needs him. Tied a team record with 16 rushing touchdowns. OJ is the guy that held that record with 16 touchdowns last year, was fifth in yards before contact per rush at 3.1. Had a great season, 18 total touchdowns, doubled his total from the previous two seasons. So he had earned it. And, again, those guys that are, you know, a part of taking some of that pressure off Josh Allen so he doesn't have to be Superman, you need them in the fold. So Buffalo, listen, it's this is the year. But we've said that for the last couple of years, you know, for them. I'd be fine, I guess, with being in contention every year, having a quarterback like Josh Allen, but at some point you want to get over the hump. They've got everything that you should need. It's really just about getting past that guy in KC for them. But James Cook now a Buffalo Bill. So all locked up, and everybody seems to be happy in Buffalo. We've got a lot more to do in this show, including hour number three. We're going to talk to Norton Hurd IV, Team Thad coach and program director. We'll see what he can tell us about Tennessee Collegiate Academy. I think he knows quite a bit about it, but we'll see what we can get out of him at 125. That and much more. You listen to Jason John, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Coverage of the NBA and the NFL on 92.9 FM ESPN with Sports Talk presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
The Live Love Memphis Group, I'm always happy to sing their praises. They have done a ton for me and my life that is no joke. Back in 2018, sold a home I thought I'd never be able to sell. Dead serious. Your home is probably in a lot better shape than mine was then. What I'm telling you is Jennifer Carstensen can handle a hard job or an easy job. Point is she's going to get you the most money possible for your home. And so if you are interviewing realtors, give her a call, 901-625-5200. I think you'll like what she has to say. For me, she made everything super simple about y'all, but in areas where I'm not smart, like it came to home selling, should have messed with her on the home buying end to get started back in 05. But, of course, I didn't know a thing in 05, and she wasn't around back then. But she's great, and she broke it down simply for me, and I appreciated it. But more importantly, I appreciate that everything she said was going to happen is what happened. 901-625-5200. Don't be with some group that's got your home on the market for the wrong price, and you've been sitting out there for a long time. Like I said, she's done it in every market. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. A little bit of NBA news here as we get set for the full schedule release tomorrow. And so we will know. And we go through that grizzly schedule every year, and particularly the last couple of years, and DeMichael Cole touches on this, the fantastic Grizzlies beat writer of Commercial Appeal. Last couple of years, we've been, you know, extremely focused on the start of those years because you had somebody either injured or someone, John Morant, suspended to start the year, and it was sort of, well, how can you get through this patch? So we've done that, and now we know, and Brad was mentioning it yesterday, you know, with Zach Edey, is going to be out at least for some time to start the year. We'll see with Jaren Jackson Jr. He's going to get reevaluated on that toe, I think, in September. Neither of them expected to miss a huge chunk of time, but we'll be looking at that early part of the schedule because there's a good chance it feels like that you won't have both of them, maybe Jaren for a shorter time. My hope is that you can get Jaren for the start of the season. That news, though, ahead of tomorrow from the NBA, Tom Dundon, owner of the NHL's Carolina Hurricanes, has agreed to buy the Portland Trail Blazers from the estate of Paul G. Allen for a valuation of just more than $4 billion, sources confirmed to ESPN on Wednesday. Dundon intends to keep the team in Portland, sources confirmed to ESPN. Other members of Dundon's group include Mark Czar. He is the co-president of Blue Owl Capital, and Shield Tile, Portland-based founder and co-CEO of Collective Global. Sportico was the first to report the agreement. So we have a sale here, but the news to follow right after for anybody who wondered, oh, he's going to move the team? He's going to take them to Carolina because he owns the Hurricanes? No, ESPN's pretty much confirmed that the plan is to keep the team in Portland. And so there was that bit of news. We had talked about Michael Porter Jr. opening up about gambling
and not just in the NBA, but gambling overall, but with gambling issues of his brother, mentioned Malik Beasley, Terry Rozier. And then we have the aforementioned schedule that should produce some news tomorrow. Thing I'm looking most forward to is the thing that we just talked about, is what it's going to look like early on for the Grizzlies. Because, listen, early is going to matter maybe in a way, you know, more importantly, than more so than it has ever. Because remember, keep in mind, this is not Taylor Jenkins. This is Tuomas Iisalo. You have a new coach, obviously, who only got 9 regular season games last year after the switchover from Taylor Jenkins, and then, what, you know, play-in game, and then a four-game playoff series. You're talking about a guy that's still trying to put in his foundation, a guy who's still got to prove that he is worthy of being an NBA coach, of being Zach Kleiman's pick here as the guy to take the Grizzlies to the next level. Well, not ideal if you're not going to have your super screen setter and hopefully rebounder and Zach Edey to start the year, and then made even more difficult if you're not going to have Jaren Jackson. You want to get off to a start, ideally, where you've got everybody, so that whether it's from a terminology standpoint or just getting to what this thing is going to look like as quickly as possible, that's happening from the get-go. Yes, with Ja Morant expected to be ready for the start of the season, that should help things get to where they're supposed to be. But it's a good chance you got, what, Jock Landale, who we'll be learning about, that you signed over from the Rockets starting the year instead of Zach Edey. And so, you know, you could plod along, or maybe more important than win-loss record, you know, not necessarily have in place what you want to, you know, for a while, I guess, if, for as long as Zach Edey is out. And who knows, Brad, how long that could be.
Yeah, I mean, they need him fast, though. I think you're right about that. The one thing that we do know on the schedule is they released the opening week matchup on the tip-off, which does not include the Grizzlies. They won't be on that big opening night feature of four games, which includes the Cavs, the Spurs, Oklahoma City, Denver, Golden State, the Pacers, the Mavs, and the Knicks. And they're also not going to be playing once again on Christmas Day. And there's 5 games. ESPN has put 5 games together now, starting at 11 a.m. Central, all the way through midnight, basically. Jason.
Oh, nobody, not anybody's going to be watching them, though, because NFL's on Christmas now.
See,
these days,
now the NFL's getting in there, aren't they?
Took their spot. Are you offended that we're not on Christmas Day? Based on where the franchise is now, I think that was probably, you know, well, not probably, that was predictable.
I just get upset because it feels like you should at least fake it if you're the NBA. In other words, we get why you're not doing it, but we do have a franchise. Like, so, my whole thing is, if you're going to have a franchise in any city, like, mix it up a little bit, you know? And I'm not saying that's as some chip on the shoulder, you know, small market. It's like, you know, maybe when you have 30 teams, you should use all 30 of them instead of having the Lakers play every Christmas. But at this point, we know what the deal is.
I think there's some of it on ourselves, just in the sense, what was it, a couple of years ago, you were setting a franchise record for nationally televised games. That was before Ja has the injuries, the bad decisions, or whatever else, and the NBA has backed off of you the last couple of years. And I would probably tell you, you brought it on yourself.
That's fair.
And you certainly did last year with the way this thing collapsed after starting 35-16, that you know, the NBA is going to turn to, at a time where every league in the country, but including the NBA, is doing everything it can to increase ratings, they're going to turn to the ones, to their big dogs, to their big markets, because that's what they know they can bank on. I get what you're saying, that why not, you know, just even the thing out, show off your entire league.
Yeah.
But you know the NBA, they love their superstars, they love their big markets, and that's not going to change. Were you, in terms of the whole not playing on MLK?
Yeah. That went down last week while you were gone, didn't it? Is that when the schedule started, where they were told they were going to do those
before? The two games in Germany are right before.
We got the two games in Berlin, and then was it the second one over there too? And then they're going to be
London
using,
and Berlin.
So they're doing a travel day on MLK, which is why we're not getting an MLK game.
We're not. They put out the games for MLK, right? We're not a part of it at all, because
we
will be
MLK.
Overseas.
Yeah,
but
traveling.
But I'm not overly frustrated about it. I think maybe this did come because I saw the release from Wexler.
A lot of people were upset
clear,
about it.
But Wexler made it clear that we'll be back to anchoring it next
season.
Which
I thought was smart by Jason to go out and say, look, this is a one-off. This thing's coming back. That's
because,
a smart
because
PR
if you're
move.
Shutting it down, yes.
Yeah.
Then what are you doing, NBA? This has been great for Memphis, yes, but great for the league in terms of the symposium that Memphis puts on, how seriously Memphis takes it, how big a deal that is. That's not just a big thing here. That's big for the NBA.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you were shutting that off for good, yes, I would have an absolute problem with it. You're going to be overseas. You're going to be sell jaw jerseys in Germany in the first regular season game over there. You get some exposure, and we're back anchoring MLK Day next year, which I'm fine
with. And you can argue that it was going to be a big deal for Desmond Bane to return against us with Orlando, but hear me out on this, Jason. One of my thoughts was, well, you do take a rematch, Bane playing his old team, and put it on a bigger stage when you put it overseas. And I'm not saying you would rather have it here because you get a sold out, you know, probably a near sellout crowd.
You were going to be at that game giving Bane all the salute,
weren't
you? Kidding
me?
He was your favorite Grizz up until the time he got traded, or
he's
no?
He's still my favorite Grizz. I mean, he's still one of my favorite NBA players.
Well, you're going to have to let go.
Mike Miller has told me I can still be a fan, apparently, and he's high on the Magic. And I'm high on the Magic,
too. Oh, that's
too.
Right. Mike Miller came in here one day I was out, too, didn't he?
I know.
And he told you what now? He said you can still root for your favorite player as a Magic player?
We were talking about the East now, but I told him, I said, I'm a big Bane fan. And, of course, half of his lineup of agency is with the Magic now at this point.
Because
he's got Banchero, and then Tyus is also on his roster. But he was really high on Orlando, and I'm pretty high on Orlando now that they have Bane. I think they're going to be really good.
Well, why don't you just become a Magic fan like Memphians were doing back when Penny was down there in NBC?
That is something I will not do. Now, I know I can flip-flop on this show quite often. I am not flip-flopping on my Grizzlies. I will not do that. But they're going to have some room to make up here because, I mean, a lot of people crapped on Desmond when he left. They're like, well, see, you know, they really needed to get rid of that third piece. I'm not sure I was there on that.
How about this take? It's a wild one.
I know you got the money was going to be tough, though.
No, how about this take?
Okay.
I'm more confident in Memphis football this year than I am in Memphis Grizzlies basketball.
Oh, good one. Me too. I don't even have to think about it. Absolutely.
I think people are setting themselves up for disappointment with the Grizzlies.
I think that's a fair take.
This step back is going to be real.
Yes. Yes. Well, and I think people are prepared for it. I don't think we're prepared for what Vegas is putting on paper here. Because if you look at it, I think the Spurs might be better than you.
There's a good chance Dallas is better than
you. Dallas is probably better than you. Obviously, the Rockets now have Kevin Durant. Like, they're probably better than you.
Rockets are long gone from
Lakers, Minnesota, Denver. Like, you're not a top four seed.
Clippers.
You might be on playing maybe.
I feel good about being ahead of New Orleans. I feel good about being ahead of Portland.
That's it. Right? I mean, and if you're talking about
football. Utah is another one.
And if football, conversely, you've got a quarterback now. You've got returning starters. You've got a weak conference. I have a lot of confidence compared to Grizzlies.
And then you're starting with no Zach Edey.
Right.
That's who Ja Morant played well with once Isolo got the gig.
Yep.
Puts Zach Edey back into the starting lineup. That was going well. You're not going to have that to start. I think Lonnie can probably do a decent job, but it's not, you know, depending upon how long Edey is out, there could be a lot of losses in there.
Well, I also don't believe in the coach. I think I've got enough sample size now after the end of the season and the summer league system.
Nah, you got to give him some time, Brad. That's why I got to push back on you. How can you not believe in him yet? I have my doubts, and especially about the way Zach Kleiman handled it, but my doubts about him and his system about whether it worked, but don't we have to give him a chance? Last year was not enough of a chance.
He was with the team all year long last year. He was with them the whole year, you know, and they used his system most of the year, you know, and the system blows, you know. They tried it this summer. It looks bad. It's not good. You don't have better players. You have worse players, and you have a coach who's never coached in the NBA. I mean, I don't understand. I think that's an easy answer to me. I think you got enough.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know firmly how much of the system and they were doing was his. You clearly had Taylor Jenkins going rogue at some point.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, Taylor ends up taking the fall for it, but that couldn't have been Isolo all season long. Otherwise, how are you firing Taylor Jenkins if you're running all Isolo stuff? Clearly he went rogue.
Yeah.
The mistake was pitting the two of them together and having his replacement essentially working by him. You build the resentment up in Taylor Jenkins. But I get it. And you've been smart on these. Ryan Silverfield, you said one game. You said all you only need one game with Ryan Silverfield's Penn State. You said, you know what? No, he ain't the coach. I mean,
I just think
he has not won a conference title. From that standpoint of the take, you were right from that standpoint. Now, again, can he break through this year? You know, we'll see.
With a lot of these things, and I know it sounds asinine, but remarkable people do remarkable things. And when you're paying somebody the kind of bread these coaches make, I don't think it sounds asinine or absurd to have unrealistic expectations. Like, what are we talking about? Like, pay me $5 million and I'll figure out a coach real fast.
Well, Tuomas Iisalo, clearly Zach Kleiman thinks he's remarkable.
Apparently so.
He was willing to take him,
yeah,
you know, pay the buyout, everything else, pay above market value for an assistant coach and bring him over and stick him into what could potentially turn into a mess. And it did.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to – so he thinks he's remarkable. He thinks he was worth it to bring over. And so that's where I go back to, you know, this Zach Kleiman's got it all riding on his shoulders. There's pressure on Zach Kleiman. There's pressure on John Morant. Those two gentlemen within that organization have the most pressure on their shoulders. But for Zach, man, you got so much riding on Iisalo after wasting last season. Again, if you add – a waste of last season to a bad start this year or a bad 30 to 40 games. Where's Ja Morant going to be at that point? Is he still buying in?
But the reality is it's all about players. Like, think about it this way. Like, Nico Harrison's going to get a pass because he lucked into the first pick and he's got a roster that's better and then he has an injured point guard, so they give him a pass on that and you have this first overall pick. People are going to forget about this Nico Harrison trade at a certain point. I'm convinced. It's like a lot of this gets forgotten, but you got to figure, you know, that doesn't make it right that you made this dumb decision to trade this player to the Lakers. And I think likewise, like, I don't think Grizzlies are ready to give it time, and I think that they're going to have to if they're going to get the system right, and they're going to try to get this thing right without Edie at the beginning of the season, and then also work in a number two guard who you just drafted who's replacing Bane. You know?
I don't know what if I was going to characterize it as trouble that Zach Kleiman's got in and taken in terms of taking the step back. It's not where Dallas was in terms of trading Luka. I don't know, man. I don't know if there's a get out of trouble card for Kleiman. Maybe it's this pick of Phoenix that he was able to acquire in the way that Cooper Flagg pick was the get out of trouble card. Get out of jail.
It was he kind of got a pass because of something that happened externally, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know that Kleiman, if there's something that can change it for him and bring it all back.
Yeah,
maybe
pretty
it's,
far
maybe,
in now.
Maybe it's the Phoenix pick. Maybe it's Ja Morant playing at such a high level that the rest of these guys that you have question marks on, Gigi Jackson, all of them,
Coward, I think, is the pick. They all come around
because he's raising them to their level.
Yeah.
But I just know there are a lot, it feels like a lot more question marks than we've had going into the last couple of seasons, and I'm not sure folks are prepared for it.
I don't think so.
We shall see. Yeah. Weird that Jason Smith feels better about Memphis football right now than he does Memphis Grizzlies, but I think that's where we're at.
As confident at a level that they'll get in that conference title this year for football, that much more than the Grizzlies' achievements?
I think they're going to sneak in, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they need to.
Maybe it won't having to be sneaking in because they'll just be that good in terms of what you brought in the talent. But yeah, because you don't have to be great necessarily on that. You just need to be good on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
And he's brought in good players. It's just up to them to manage them, make the puzzle pieces work, and get and again, we get the break of getting the three toughest conference games all here.
Yep.
So yeah, that's why I'm not lowering the expectations for conference.
Well,
they have
an opportunity if you knock out those first three cupcakes and then you beat Arkansas at home. You'll have enough on tape.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball.
Hey,
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.